If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the heartland of this great country, at the crossroads, comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show, heard only through ConservativeNationMedia.com. Your infidel host, Robert Garding, comes to you from West Central Indiana, one of only two states in America who runs their budget in the black. You are listening to Hour 1 of the show, and now, here's your host, Robert Garding. Calling all streetwalkers and sexually undiscriminating ladies, Obama got your hot and steamy nights covered. A campaign called Got Insurance debuted new ads Tuesday, hawking free birth control pills courtesy of Obamacare. Oh, brother. The ads were launched by the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative and Progress Now. One titled, Let's Get Physical, is geared towards women craving easy, casual sex, believe it or not. It features Susie and Nate, who are described as hot to trot. The ad declares, oh my God, he's hot. Let's hope he's as easy to get as this birth control. My health insurance covers the pill, which means all I have to worry about is getting him between the covers. I got insurance. Now you can too. Thanks, Obamacare. Now the sad part about ads like this anymore, they don't raise many eyebrows, at least, and not many people think anymore that these are totally inappropriate and wrong, especially coming from our government, at least from the liberal left, anyway. America is being led right down the toilet into the sewers of the rat-infested underworld, and that is where the left wants us all to stay. And when a conservative comes along and calls for civility and morality, well, hell, we are labeled as racists and terrorists and extremists without so much as a word of dissent to defend us. That is the state of this country now, and that is the way that Obama and the left wants it. Are you right-leaning, God-fearing people scared yet? You ready to get up and fight for your country? Mark Levin on Monday talked about several of the guys that I talked about last week, Chris Matthews on MSNBC, and also from MSNBC is the one that talked a blue streak against Sarah Palin. Remember Martin Fisher? I've got more on that idiot this week. His idiotic comment about Sarah Palin and how sick she was, talking openly about how she deserved to have someone defecate into her mouth, actually came up with an apology for that on Monday. And it was fairly eloquent, actually. I think maybe somebody else wrote it for him because I don't think he was capable of that much condescending niceness. Now, whether he really meant it or was just forced into giving it, here is his apology. And I didn't leave out anything of it, so no one can say I picked and chose. It is just a little over 2 minutes long.
Last Friday on this broadcast, I made some comments which were deeply offensive and directed at Governor Sarah Palin. I wanted to take this opportunity to say sorry to Mrs. Palin and to also offer an unreserved apology to her friends and family, her supporters, our viewers, and anyone who may have heard what I said. My words were wholly unacceptable. They were neither accurate nor fair. They were unworthy of anyone who would claim to have an interest in politics, and they have brought shame upon my friends and colleagues at this network, none of whom were responsible for the things that I said, and at a place where we try every day to elevate political discourse and to focus on issues that matter to all of us. In the battle of ideas, America leads the world in wholehearted discussions and disagreements, and these arguments can be heard on a daily basis. But what I did on Friday had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with that great tradition, and I am deeply sorry. Upon reflection, I so wish that I had been more thoughtful, more considerate, more compassionate. But I was not, and what I said is now a matter of public record. But if I could add something to the public record, it would be this: that I deeply regret what I said, and that I have learned a sober lesson in these last few days, that the politics of vitriol and destruction is a miserable place to be and a miserable person to become. And I promise that I will take the opportunity to learn from this experience. My hope is that it will renew in me a spirit of humility and humanity that looks for the good and that builds upon the great things that this country has to offer to all of us, regardless of our political persuasion. This will be my guiding light and compass in the days ahead. But once again, I am truly sorry for what I said on Friday.
My guess is that he's just truly sorry he got caught. Now, that is something, though, that you won't hear often from the left. Maybe Oprah could learn from this man. Remember last week?
And they just have to die.
Yeah. Maybe she could learn something by listening to what Martin Bashir said in his apology, even though it probably wasn't true. Oprah has no clue about what she is supposed to be talking about, and that is sad. She has no intention of apologizing for her insane remark, but that is what most of the left is. You know, they won't apologize for nothing, but they expect us to. Rant and rave against the people who do not believe as they do, even wish death on them, and that is okay, but let someone from the right do exactly the same thing? Oh, hell would break loose in the media and in Washington till that person saying it was made to pay for their comments. But not Oprah, not the left. And now, on with the show. I heard about this first on CNN on Tuesday while I was at work, because that's the TV station they listen to there. But on Tuesday, there was a stabbing in the home of Virginia's Senator Deeds. From USA Today came the story. Virginia State Police are investigating a senator as an attempted murder and suicide by his son, who died at the scene, an official said Tuesday. Craig Deeds, C-R-E-I-G-H, 55, a Democrat who ran unsuccessfully for governor of Virginia in 2009, was reported in fair condition after being hospitalized with a stab wound Tuesday. His son, Gus, 24, was found dead of a gunshot wound in their home west of Charlottesville, state police spokeswoman Corrine Geller said. Now, Gus Deeds had undergone a mental health evaluation under an emergency custody order on Monday, according to a Richmond Times-Dispatch interview with Dennis Cropper, executive director of the Rockbridge County Community Services Board. And the younger Deeds was released from Bath County Community Hospital because no psychiatric beds were available. So now he's dead, and his father's in the hospital. Geller declined to comment on the mental health aspects of the case, citing legal restrictions on the disclosure and personal health matters and the investigation. But here is the thing that's going on here. Deeds was a Democrat. After this happened, you didn't hear any Republicans jumping up and down and gleefully saying, oh boy, a Democrat was stabbed, a Democrat's in the hospital, something good happened finally. You didn't hear this. You hear it from the left. Every time somebody from the right gets hurt in an accident or something like that, you'll hear them say things like Mike Oprah did, you know, they just have to die. But nobody notices this kind of thing. Nobody notices that somebody from the right who gets hurt or somebody from the right who has an accident or something or gets ill. You always hear them say, you know, somewhere along the line you'll hear one of them say, he should die. But if we ever heard anything like that out of the right, there are two things that would happen. We would be ignored by everyone from the left, except to say that we are just being babies and we are doing something that we shouldn't be doing because whoever it was that got hurt deserved it. Unless, of course, it was somebody from the left. But when somebody from the right gets hurt, we'll talk about it. And we will not say things that the left would. The left would be out there saying, oh, I hope he dies, or I hope, you know, God has smite down this guy because he is wrong on everything he does, so that's the reason why he's not, you know, he got hurt. Oh, no, we don't do that. And we don't do that when a Democrat gets hurt either. Most everybody that I know of sent well wishes and prayed to God to help, you know, help him in his recovery, even though he is a Democrat. That doesn't matter to the right. To the left it does, but to the right. But authorities said Deeds left home on foot after being stabbed. He walked down the street to Route 42, where he was spotted by his cousin, who was passing by. And they went to the cousin's house to call 911. And he was taken from there to the hospital by helicopter from a nearby farm. Deeds had four children and with his first wife, whom he divorced in 2010. He remarried in 2012. The longtime state legislature ran unsuccessfully for attorney general in 2005. Now, when I first heard this, they were speculating that it might have been a murder and that maybe the senator had interfered. It was a sad time, and yes, I, a conservative, do not rejoice in the killing of a Democrat senator or his son or the attempted killing of a Democrat. That is something the Democrats do. When a Republican dies or a Republican gets hurt, like I said, I only heard that the police were thinking it was a suicide murder later on in the day. America is still the freest country on earth, and those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in D.C. take our freedoms away. And our constitutional expert, Matthew Opalisky, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution community with Matthew Opalisky, Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. I got a new microphone this weekend, and hopefully it sounds a little better than the last one I had. If I sound different, that might be the reason why. Recent maneuvers on healthcare and the filibuster procedure amount to cynical lawlessness on the part of Democrats, syndicated columnist George Will told Megyn Kelly on Friday. The discussion came on the same day that the administration announced that 2015 open enrollment in Obamacare will be pushed back until after the 2014 midterm elections, and one day after Senate Democrats diminished the power of the chamber's minority in blocking presidential judicial appointments. And I'll get with that one later on. Harry Reid did a complete flip-flop on that one and did just exactly what he said he would never do. I guess that just shows just how much we can believe him. We can't. There is a kind of lawlessness here, and it's cynical lawlessness, Will said. As the president continues to waive this and suspend that and exercise what he calls enforcement discretion, which is not legal, by the way, the American people are beginning to feel the law is in constant flux. And if the law is in constant flux, there is no law, unquote. Will tried to put recent events in a historical perspective. Quote, what is going on? It's a fulfillment of a progressive dream now 100 years old. 100 years ago, we were in the first year of the first progressive Democratic president, Woodrow Wilson. He said, the very separation of powers is inappropriate for the modern age because for America to be governed, it needs to have more power concentrated in Washington, more and more Washington power concentrated in the executive branch, and more executive branch power concentrated in executive agencies immunized from control or even supervision and oversight by Congress, unquote. The marginalization of Congress, I just saw that Boyd just left. I hope that I'm being heard here. Okay. That's good. I'm glad. Marginalization of Congress has thus been a constant goal of progressives, Will continued. This is why conservatism, modern conservatism, was really born in reaction to a strong executive in Franklin Roosevelt during the New Deal and a strong executive of Lyndon Johnson during the Great Society, unquote. The success of Ronald Reagan helped conservatives shed some of their distrust in a strong executive branch, Will said, but he suggested that recent events could change that. At that point, they began to lose some of their suspicion of executive power, and I hope they are now reacquiring it. Yeah, we will be right back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with the hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm! It hurts!
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
From the Blade Network game, this one that comes from Tennessee, of all places. This one shows some real stupidity from people who are supposed to be in charge. No wonder this country is in such trouble. Get a load of this one. A Tennessee father was arrested for disorderly conduct last week after objecting to an official school policy that apparently prohibited him from picking up his children in front on foot ahead of a majority of parents picking up their children in their cars. Now, I, for one, have sat in a line of cars to pick up my kids from school, and have never thought anything about a person on foot going straight to the door to pick their kids up. It didn't slow my line down, and it didn't make anyone else mad. But I digress here. The new student pickup policy, which was reportedly started last week, says that parents can only pick up the children after 2 p.m. by waiting in a line of cars until everyone is released at 2:35 p.m. In this particular case, the parent was walking, so it wouldn't make much sense to wait behind a line of cars, now would it? As Jim Howe made his case to South Cumberland Elementary School Resource Officer Avery Aites, A-Y-T-E-S, the man's fiance recorded the entire exchange in the roughly 6-minute discussion captured on video. Howe does not appear to be to seriously raise his voice or make any threatening gestures. It should be noted that there could be more to the video, however. The moment that Aites arrests Howe appears to be shown in full context. Howe said, "I'm not raising my voice. I'm not confrontational. I just want my kids." And he said that in the YouTube video later, adding, "I can't stand in line. I'm walking, picking my kids up." "You're trying to be difficult. You're being childish," Aites replied, who was the officer. Howe then referenced Tennessee state law and argued the school's policy is illegal, further aggravating the school resource officer. "School's out. My children are to be given to me," the dad said. Then here's what Aites said. This is just ridiculous. He said, "It doesn't say when." Well, the thing says, school is out, they will give you your child, but it doesn't say when. Now does it? And that's what the Aites said. Tennessee state law says within a reasonable amount of time, that is 15 minutes, how it says in the video, seconds before being put in handcuffs. "Put your hands behind your back," Aites said as he detained the father. "I'm not staying here and arguing with you. You're being disorderly." The officer then placed Howe in a police vehicle after threatening to arrest his fiancée as well if she blocked traffic while filming him. Cumberland County Sheriff Butch Burgess told Wait TV, W-A-T-E, Aites was only doing his job by enforcing the law. However, the sheriff also said he agrees with the father on principle, saying the policy is creating safety concerns because it has created a line of cars along the highway outside of the school. Burgess said he is reviewing the policy and will make some recommendations this week as to what changes should be made to ensure student safety. Howe is outraged that he was arrested for trying to pick up his kids. He says he doesn't need a reason to pick up his own kids from school. He said, "You don't need a reason as a parent to go get the children. They are our children," Howe told WATE-TV. Now, I have asked this question several times the last few weeks, and I'll continue to ask this here. Are we still living in America? I mean, the things that are happening all over this country, this time in Tennessee, reek of communism, socialism, not capitalism and freedom. It is like we the people are suddenly the criminal element and we have to be kept in chains. This is why I looked at this story. And this is the reason why, this is how I look at it too. First off, the state law says you can pick up your children after school's out. But this father is told, doesn't say when. Oh, really? To almost anyone, the line out means after school is out. If the school day is over and the parents are coming to pick up their children, it is after school is out, and that is the time mentioned. This man, Aites, is a complete idiot, and he shows his moronic thought process by explaining that it doesn't say when. School is out. They will give you your child, but it doesn't say when. Now, does it? As this article just says, just seconds before being put in handcuffs, how the father says Tennessee state law says within a reasonable amount of time, that is 15 minutes. And then he was arrested for being disorderly. And I still have to ask, are we still in America? I mean, with things like this going on, I have half an idea that one of these days I'm going to be doing this show and some people in men in black are going to come to my door and haul me away for saying the wrong things or something. And if we are still living in America, then why are we allowing all of this to happen? The people outnumber the officials by huge numbers, yet we are allowing ourselves to be bullied and pushed around by them, and we are allowing the officials in Washington to work hard at taking our freedoms away from us and doing things that are patently illegal, and we don't do anything about it. When are we going to stop this and bring our nation back to the great country it used to be? It's a simple question, but really relevant, I think. And I would hope that most patriotic Americans would think so too. But the problem with that is that most of us patriotic Americans are sitting there looking at it in a different way. We've already lost our freedoms. We've already lost what America was supposed to be. We need to get it back. And we can't depend on the Republicans to help us there, because they will do the right things once in a while until push comes to shove. And then when that happens, the leadership backs down, because I guess they're afraid of being knocked out of office. The thing that really catches me on that one is I would think that if you're not doing what you were sent there to do, you would be in more of a line to lose your office than if you backed down and didn't do it. But that's what it seems like the Republicans in Washington, like Boehner and Lindsey Graham and John McCain and all of them, seem to think. They think that if they're going to stand up and do what is right, they're going to get knocked out of office. Well, I think they're going to find out they are wrong on that one. And hopefully the people will rise up and take them all out of office. Republicans and Democrats who will not follow the Constitution, the laws of this land. And I swear, if we vote for another president that does what Obama is doing, then we deserve what we get. This man is doing things that the president is not allowed to do, yet he's doing them anyway, and everybody's letting him get away with all of this bull. He's ignoring laws that don't agree with him or don't agree with his ideals. He's making laws which a president can't do to do the things that he wants to have done. Obamacare is a really good example of that one. Big majority of the people were against that one, yet we had it forced down our throats like a monarchy would do. And I don't know. We'll be right back. Let's assume that if you're listening to Conservative Nation Media, look, conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, one word, and click on the Patriot Bowl banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins. You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism radio show, and the call-in number for your listeners out there is 718-305-7176.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
From my blog, Why Conservatism, comes this one, aptly titled, ACA Schadenfreude. Requirements, I wonder if he has the legal authority to do this. Schadenfreude is a word that means malicious joy in the misfortunes of others, and other words that it could mean is damage joy, damage, harm, injury, hopping for joy at the damage that's caused from others. But it was, the story goes on to say, is to say that I'm experiencing a little bit of schadenfreude, I probably don't have that right, but that's over the House and the Senate Democrats, increasing discomfort over the fallout of their reckless passing of the Affordable Health Care Act, i.e. ACA or Obamacare, would be a severe understatement. Indeed, these clowns are getting every bit of hell from their irate constituents that they deserve. After all, from a photo on the Post, Obamacare, what the Democrats promised, which is showing a photo of some elegant and beautifully expensive sports car, like maybe a Ferrari, and then under that was the line, what they delivered. The photo below that was of an old junk truck that only had a primer coat on it and was wheelless and headlightless, and the door was open and all the windows were gone, and small trees and weeds were growing all around it. The Post went on to say, however, I am fully sympathetic to those people who are finding themselves between a rock and a hard place with canceled insurance plans and trying to get new insurance plans that are higher in cost and deductibles. The exception is for those morons who thought that they could get something for nothing. You folks are getting exactly what you voted for when you bought into the liar-in-chief's promises. For this, I have the following to say with a quick history lesson. 13th Amendment abolished slavery. Had 100% Republican support, 23% Democrat support. See where this was going? 14th Amendment gave citizenship to freed slaves. 94% Republican support, 0 Democrat support. Getting worse for the Democrats, don't you think? 15th Amendment, right to vote for all, 100% Republican support, 0% Democrat support. Obamacare, 0% Republican support, 86% Democrat support. When will you all learn that the progressive liberal Democratic politicians do not have your best interest in mind with their voting records? When will you stop blaming the Republicans for these things that are not and not the Democrats? Now, I fully understand that the Republicans have their own setup and issues, but I haven't readily seen them try to overtly screw over the American people with such callous disregard as the current crop of Democrats, and ones before that for that matter. But their problem lies with us, the American people, for we have grown complacent and lazy, preferring to believe the lie that government will take care of us and that the laws of the land and the politicians that write them will protect us, instead of taking an active role in using three of the following four actions. We have four boxes with which to defend our freedoms. The soapbox, where we do something to get the word out, like this show or a blog or videos or town hall meetings. The ballot box, where you can go and vote these jokers out of office, if we would just do it. The jury box, which we all know that one is, and the cartridge box. This is a final step that I am becoming increasingly sure will happen if the other three are not used correctly and soon, into being a bunch of hands held out for the handouts for the government, thinking the government is giving us free stuff. It isn't free, folks. The government pays for those free things, but where does the government get their money? It comes from us, that is where. But we are allowing the politicians of both parties to rob Peter to pay Paul. And folks, we need to understand the following. The photo that followed was of a woman trying to swim underwater towards a big window in a house with the caption, "What if we no longer called it politics? Instead, we'll call it your life. Then will you be interested?" Political parties destroying America. Actions of Democrats and Republicans are leading to the destruction of America. Liberal dysfunctional thought, unopposed by conservative principles, pushes us ever closer to economic collapse. The entitlement mentality continues unchecked with massive uncontrolled spending, and this is sadly coming from both sides. The Obamacare needs to be defunded, but the Republicans refuse to act. Once this monstrosity is fully in place, it will never be removed. Government control will end high-quality health care and its supporting industries. The private sector and free enterprise are the underpinnings of our economic system. Government produces nothing, hampers private sector efficiency, takes from those who produce, and squanders the money on grand schemes that don't do anything except spend money, hoping to create the mythical utopia of heaven on earth. That will never happen, though, and it's time we realize this. Time to reverse the growth of the federal government, its control over our lives, and its negative impact on business and job opportunities. Term limits are needed for Congress and the Supreme Court. This, folks, is the government our founding fathers warned us about. If we wake up, the Democrats and the Republicans who followed along on all this, we'll pay for Obama's phony promises. Over and over, Obama promised everyone that they could keep their health care plans and doctors. Now millions are learning their plans have been canceled. The American people have mostly ignored several foul-ups this American administration has made and tried to cover up. But enough is enough. We are not going to ignore this. This disastrous health care law affects us all. For this, his party will pay dearly, which we can only hope. Folks, the only way to dig ourselves out of this mess is to vote candidates of either party whose state purpose is to repeal the biggest disaster that our government has ever imposed upon the American people. The second part is to hold them to their promises. No more of the "I had to lie to get elected" bullcrap. both them out of office as fast as possible with someone who will get the job done and keep on their butts and will keep on their butts to do it. Otherwise, the fourth box listed above, the cartridge box, might be needed to and used as an absolute last resort. Remember, George Washington said, a free people ought not only to be armed and disciplined, but they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government. Unquote. Amen to that. The time is coming, folks, and I've been saying this for a long time now. We either need to stop the politicians in Washington by first getting them to repeal Obamacare or get rid of them altogether. They are altogether too arrogant and smug to hold office anymore if they can't see this needs to be done. For this nation, the Constitution, for this nation and the Constitution, period, folks, this is no laughing matter anymore. We need to act and act fast, or we are going to be the last laugh for all the politicians who wouldn't do the right thing. And that will not be a pretty sight, because inside all of that will be the ones who will rise up with the cartridge boxes and guns, and the government knows this. Why else would they be working so damn hard to figure out a way to take our guns away? And you will find out if we don't do this. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA, as it is in most of ours, I think. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American History and Hangar Flying on Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. From Mark Levin came this one, which was announced the other day. The majority of Americans are not pleased with the job President Barack Obama has been doing. A new CBS poll, news poll, finds that Obama's approval rating has dropped even some more now. It's now 37%. It might even be lower than that now. Who knows? A 9-point drop from his 46% rating in October. His disapproval rating is at the highest CBS news polls have indicated, climbing to 57%. The faulty Affordable Care Act rollout hasn't helped matters, as only 31% of Americans now approve of Obamacare, indicating that a drop of 12 points since last month, and it's the lowest number recorded by CBS News polls for the favorability of the law. A staggering 61% disapprove of the law. Only 7% of Americans believe the law is working well and should be kept in place, while 1 in 10 Americans believe the health care exchange signups have been going well. Conversely, CBS News polls found that 2/3 don't believe enrolling for Obamacare is going well. A majority of Americans also don't believe the government will be able to fix the faulty healthcare.gov website, and I'm one of them. Almost 2/3 believe the website will be fixed by December 1st deadline, set by the administration, compared to 34% of people who believe it will be. Last week, federal health officials revealed, and that one didn't quite make sense to me, but that's what came from the Mark Levin show from the website. Last week, federal health officials revealed that just 26,794 people enrolled for health insurance through the federal website during the first flawed month of operations, and a total of 106,000 nationwide, a small fraction of what they had projected. Obama has apologized for the faulty rollout and for millions of Americans who are losing their coverage due to the law. But that, again, is another apology, I think, that was only put out there because he knows he's in trouble. News analysis found that nearly 5 million Americans will lose their current health care plan due to Obamacare, In the wake of growing criticism over the cancellations, Obama tried to make good on a previous promise, saying that those who like their insurance can keep it for one more year. However, the ultimate decision still lies with insurers and most state insurance commissioners. We will be right back, messages. Let's see here. There it is.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person. I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
This week I was looking over the news media and noticed a surge of stupid stories of actors and people who have no idea what they are talking about and telling us all that we are doing wrong, that we are all doing the wrong thing when it comes to Obama and Obamacare. And most of it is lunacy at best. Take character actor James Morrison, co-star of 24, said this about conservatives taking to social media to defend President Obama's signature health care legislation by blaming conservatives for the website's woes. No alternative health care plan besides repealing ACA or government shutdown? Hack the ACA website. Conservative governance at its finest, is what he said. Morrison offered no direct proof for his claim. Of course not. They never do. He previously linked to an ABC story saying that Obamacare site had been hit by cyber attacks, but the story never mentions any conservative perpetrator. The report does say the number of attacks on the site is very low compared to other government targets. It also comes to light in recent days that Obama administration had plenty of warning that the site in question had serious issues, but went ahead with the October 1st rollout all the same. Huh? Then there was this one. Richard Dreyfuss, Oscar winner, bipolar sufferer, and grizzled political philosopher, appeared on Piers Morgan Live, of course he did, on Tuesday and sniveled that if the GOP doesn't help the helpless Obama administration fix Obamacare, then they should anticipate having the sick and the dying and the dead on their lawns again. Huh? Then comes Antonio Banderas. In an interview with CNN on Espanol's Ana Pastor, actor Antonio Banderas lamented the power corporations have over political structures, arguing that government takeovers of corporations like Chavez did are the only solution. What other way is there, the actor asked. The interview for Pastor's programs face-to-face this November touched on topics from his acting work to family life, but it is Banderas' political comments that are triggering a firestorm of criticism on the Internet. Echoing the sentiments of the Occupy movement, Banderas tells Pastor that, quote, you get the sense lately that possible in the whole world, we are not being governed by the people we voted for, unquote, indicating that corporations are running governments. He additionally laments that the lobbies and the corporate interests he believes are running these governments don't have to show their face regardless of the consequences of their actions. Having stated the problem, Pastor asked Banderas for a solution. You break it like Chavez did in his time, he responds. You say, the topic is over. I'm taking all these corporations and nationalizing them. He concludes asking, what other way out is there? He continues his praise for Chavez by calling this century a post-democratic era and lamenting the inevitable corporate corruption of President Barack Obama. Well, I'm sorry, Banderas. Barack Obama's been corporate day one, I think. Noting that people expected a change upon his election, Banderas adds that he never had to hope. I said, no, because he is going to encounter reality. And then this one. To the average America, Obamacare is part website disaster, part shattered campaign promise, writ very, very large. Millions of Americans have already been forced out of their existing health care policies, a number that may skyrocket in the new year. Russell Simmons sees it differently. The hip-hop mogul says Obamacare is already so successful it saved thousands, if not millions, of lives. Again, huh? Yes, we initially wanted single-payer, and we had to compromise back in 2009 for the Affordable Care Act. But it is a damn good piece of legislation, and it has already saved hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of lives. So let us not give up now. Simmons blasted the 39 House Democrats who voted in favor of tweaking Obamacare, but he saved his harshest words for the GOP. I know where Republicans stand. They have voted 47 times to repeal the Affordable Care Act, so their stance is clear. If you get sick, you're on your own. If you can't pay for your medical expenses, declare bankruptcy. If you have a pre-existing condition, they'll send you a get-well card. Then you're on your death when you're on your deathbed. Whatever President Obama stands for, they stand for the opposite. Even if it goes against every principle they have advocated for in the past, they would rather destroy our country than see President Obama pass policy that is good for all Americans. These people are idiots, and the media holds them up like they are the greatest things that ever happened. The media holds them up like they are the smartest people that ever lived, and they are nothing more than blooming idiots. And the blooming part, they're so damn dumb that they can't even bloom anymore. But he goes on to say, as for the millions who already lost their health care plans thanks to Obamacare's arrival, Simmons says, they should simply say, good riddance. He simply knows better than you, period. And please don't tell me this about people whose health care was canceled, because that health care is predatory and it is inconscionable that we should allow anyone in this country to own such policies. I swear, folks, we are listening to a bunch of idiots and lunatics who know nothing, see nothing good in America, and are stupid to boot. And every one of these that I mentioned here are rich beyond most people's comprehension because of this country that they so love to bash. Where is the logic in that? And where is the logic in us listening to them like they know what they're talking about? Because they definitely do not know. It drives me nuts. It really does. When we have the greatest country in the world, and we have people who are rich beyond comprehension because of this country, and they turn around and tell us how horrible this country really is, and that everything that we're getting we deserve because we believe in America. Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Simmons, rich or not, you'll die just like I will. But I think I'll end up in a better place than you will. At least I hope so. People like this, I don't know. I can't say that they don't deserve to live because they do. Sadly enough, we have to put up with what they say. And sadly enough, if he ever heard what I was saying about him, he'd probably want something like Martin Bashir wanted for Sarah Palin. Or probably better yet, somebody coming along with a gun and shooting me, getting rid of me. That's what we have to remember, folks, that this is America, and we have to fight for her or we're going to lose her. And every day it seems like, this week, I had so many problems getting the stories that I wanted because there were so many of them that I had to not take ones that were really needing to be put out here. There were just too many. And every week, it seems like, you know, I will do my show like this week, and I'll think, well, next week there won't be so much to talk about. No, every week there's more. And it seems like the Democrats just don't learn, or the people on the left just don't learn. They've just got to do everything they can to give us more and more to talk about, more and more to be scared about, and more to destroy this nation that we all love and they love to hate, even though it's made millionaires out of a bunch of them. It's one of those things that just drives me crazy, and I just, it goes beyond comprehension to me that they would be doing so well in life, and they're doing so well in life because of this country. I mean, if they were living in communist China or something, they wouldn't be anywhere near as well off as they are. But it's communist China they'd rather be at than here. We will be right back with the second hour of the new Wise Conservatism radio show, heard here on Conservative Nation Media, where the call-in number, if you want to be on the show, is 718-305-7176. We will be right back, so please stay tuned.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Go, Caleb!
Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true, I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah,
yeah. So
yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
From the heartland of America in West Central Indiana comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Girding. We are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, especially since we broadcast from one of only two states that run their budgets in the black, conservative style. Take that, Obama. You are listening to Hour 2 of the show, where we continue working for you to give you the truth that is not told by the lamestream media and the Obama bots. We are being broadcast to you through Conservative Nation Media on Blog Talk Radio. And now, here again is your host, Robert Girding.
From our latest, the latest from our incompetent-in-chief is him suggesting now that we should scrap the debt ceiling. In other words, folks, he wants to spend money without any limits and anything to slow him down, like running out of money or having a debt ceiling that will stop him from spending when the ceiling has been reached. This is totally insane, folks, and it shows just how little he knows about economics and what to do to get the economy going again. He knows zilch, nada, nothing, period. From Breitbart.com comes this one that really shows just how bad for this country Obama really is. And it makes me wonder even more how he has an approval rating as high as 37%. President Barack Obama told Wall Street Journal CEO Council meeting on Tuesday that the U.S. should scrap the debt ceiling, which he described as a loaded gun creating perpetual crisis in American politics. Now, I had to stop reading there for a second because the perpetual crisis in American politics is caused by people who will not pass a yearly budget like it is stated we have to in the Constitution. And since Obama's been president, there hasn't been one. He goes on to say, we're probably better off with a system in which that threat is not there on a perpetual basis. The president did not address the problem of federal spending except to claim that he has cut deficits, which, by the way, folks, is a bald-faced lie. Obama's argument that he has cut deficits rests on the assumption that he is not responsible for the massive expansion of the 2009 fiscal year, even though he voted for the unusually high spending of that year while still a U.S. senator, and added that the massive stimulus as president. Obama also claims credit for the sequester cuts that, while originally proposed by the White House, he has spent more than a year trying to undo. Leaving aside the merits or lack thereof of Obama's fiscal hawk pretension, the argument he made for removing the debt ceiling agreed with an Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, or the OECD, report issued on Tuesday, which advised the U.S. to abolish the debt ceiling entirely because repeated political battles over raising it were causing instability to the fragile global economic recovery. Oh, brother. In both of the two major debt ceiling battles of Obama's presidency, his advisors have considered executive alternatives, including minting a trillion dollars in coins, or simply claiming the power to pay the nation's debts under the 14th Amendment. Republican Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader, has proposed letting the president raise the debt ceiling to congressional approval rather than putting Congress first. And they're all doing it, folks. Even the idiots that are on our side are doing it, which is why I keep saying we have to get rid of them. We have to get rid of all of them who aren't doing what needs to be done. None of these proposals deal with the underlying problem of federal spending, which is a bipartisan legacy of which Obama's profligacy is the latest and by far the worst example. The president's preferred option of boundless spending authority would only delay the inevitable reckoning while removing the short-term threat of formal default. It would make budget fights worse and government shutdowns much more likely. And I asked this again this last week, and I'll ask it again, folks. Do you understand now? It's been a week since MSNBC's Martin Bashir took the network's hatred of Sarah Palin one step farther with a sexist rant suggesting someone defecate and urinate into the former Alaska governor's mouth. Having apologized but received no discipline, his female colleagues on the network declined to comment to Breitbart News on the network's inaction. Breitbart reached out directly to the hosts, Chris Jansen, Rachel Maddow, Abby Huntsman, Andrea Mitchell, well, there's two of them that I know wouldn't disagree, Savannah Guthrie, Mike Wagner, Crystal Ball, and Alex Witt, as well as reporter Kelly O'Donnell, through a publicist requesting comment on the continued lack of discipline Martin Bashir has enjoyed since making his comments regarding Palin. As of press time, none of MSNBC's talent has responded to our request, nor have they commented publicly on the matter, which makes, if you're a Democrat, a lot of sense because you don't want to rock the boat. But the silence is deafening, especially compared to the backlash against those on the right who have outraged the network's talent in the past with far less obscene statements. MSNBC has been pivotal in forwarding a narrative of the Republican Party and the American right, as well as engaging in a war on women by expressing moral opposition to the abortion and skepticism of the government interfering with women's health. Those to whom Breitbart News has reached out to have in particular not been hesitant to comment when the offender has been a right-wing pundit rather than someone on the left. At the peak of the Sandra Fluke contraceptive media scandal, Rachel Maddow contended that radio host Rush Limbaugh did not understand birth control. Crystal Ball started an online petition and boycott campaign against Limbaugh. Andrea Mitchell invited Fluke on her program to discuss her sympathetic phone call with President Obama. In response to former Missouri Congressman Todd Akin's legitimate rape comments, Kelly O'Donnell tried to tie the Missouri congressman to then-Republican vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan by arguing that his comments resembled something in a bill Ryan was involved in writing, which included forcible rape. Women of MSNBC have been quieter for Martin Bashir, despite his monologue distinguishing itself for introducing human waste into the conversation. While Bashir himself took time to apologize for his wholly unacceptable comments, he has so far seen no discipline from the network for his comments, which would not happen if he was a Republican or a conservative. Now, would it? It just amazes me. His apology came after widespread backlash from greater conservative community, coverage by Breitbart News, and a petition on Truth Revolt. While Bashir's network immediately suspended colleague Alec Baldwin for his latest homophobic outburst against a photographer, they have yet to note whether Bashir will face a similar fate for words spoken on the air. While often maligned by the left as a divisive figure, Palin has a track record of reaching across the aisle when women in the public eye have become targets of sexist invective. In a recent interview with CNN's Jake Tapper, Palin argued that many of the attacks against Hillary Clinton during the 2008 campaign, especially those based on appearance, were the product of sexism. Some women on the left, most notably former White House Press Secretary Dee Dee Myers, returned the favor, tweeting today that Martin Bashir has got to go for his commentary. It just amazes me how quiet the left can stay and nobody says too much about it. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. A major GOP donor who told Breitbart News Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell made disparaging remarks about the Tea Party movement and about Senators Cruz of Texas and Mike Lee of Utah, continues to stand by his original story after claims that the reports were not accurate. This individual reported that on October 30th, fundraising call American Crossroads, Carl Grove and Stephen J. Law held with McConnell. McConnell specifically talked about Mike Lee by name, specifically talked about Ted Cruz by name, and he specifically talked about the Tea Party by name. The donor told the Breitbart News in response to a story, Groves and McConnell's teams have purported, that shows otherwise. That story, published by Charles Spearing of the Washington Examiner earlier on Friday, confirms that McConnell criticized conservative groups who supported the plan to defund Obamacare, and that he also criticized those conservatives who are now actively working to defeat them in Kentucky. The article adds that McConnell repeatedly mentioned the state conservatives, the Senate Conservatives Fund, by name. Now, I have talked about this before, and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, every once in a while, will say something that actually is good for our side. But I think he only says those kind of things, kind of like Martin Bashir said that apology, because he was forced into it. And I think Mitch McConnell does exactly the same thing. A lot of these people who are supposedly on our side do everything they freaking can to hurt our side. And nobody stands up and says anything about it. it amazes me that they are supposed to be on the conservative side, and when somebody calls them and tells them that they're not, they get irate. It's like John McCain during the election when he was running against Obama. He said, "I am the only true conservative out there." He isn't. He never has been. But I guess we will see if we ever change and get things back to the way they're supposed to be.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person. And if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Kate Pearson from the B-52s for RAD. Getting drunk is your own business, but when you drive drunk, you make it everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be responsible, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
Public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace, for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
I wanted to stay away from this because it seems like the media is just going completely nutsoid over this week being the 50th anniversary since President Obama was killed. But although conspiracy theories abound as to who orchestrated President John F. Kennedy's murder 50 years ago, there's little doubt regarding who actually pulled the trigger and shot the 35th president. It was left-wing radical Lee Harvey Oswald. This fact escapes the liberal media members who often attribute Kennedy's death to conservatives or right-wing hate. This, for instance, the New York Times recently published an article called "The City with a Death Wish in Its Eye," in which the author, James McCauley, called Dallas the city of hate, a city that willed the death of a president. This bizarre and unfactual conclusion has been peddled for many years, especially by the left-wing politicos that attempt to paint every conservative political movement as an anti-abolical conspiracy to kill liberal politicians. Nothing could be farther from the truth. The Warren Commission, the official government investigation into the JFK assassination, claimed that Oswald acted alone but did little to explain his motivations other than describe him as essentially as a sociopath with an overbearing mother and a history of antisocial behavior, leaving out a bunch of interesting material. But much work has been done to uncover Oswald's strange life, and it is clear that he is not just a twisted psychopath or a deranged madman, but a true believer in left-wing doctrine with a deep hatred for the United States. He was involved with a number of liberal causes and had been a member of the American Civil Liberties Union. He had officially joined just weeks before he took Kennedy's life, and when questioned after murdering Kennedy, Oswald specifically asked for an ACLU attorney. When he said, "I want that attorney in New York, Mr. Eft. I don't know him personally, but I know about a case that he handled some years ago where he represented the people who had violated the Smith Act, which made it illegal to teach or advocate the violent overthrow of the U.S. government. I don't know him personally, but that is the attorney I want. If I can't get him, then I may get the American Civil Liberties Union to send me an attorney." Unquote. The man to whom Oswald requested, John Apt, is a member of the Progressive Party and spent most of his career as the chief legal counsel of the Communist Party. Oswald had been a radar operator for the United States Marine Corps, but was court-martialed after accidentally shooting himself in the arm. Oswald moved to the Soviet Union after he was discharged and spent just over 2 years there, meeting and marrying his wife Marina Krusikova and living as a small-time celebrity. However, many details about Oswald's life behind the Iron Curtain are shrouded in mystery. He undoubtedly had extensive contact with the Soviet AGB. University of Oklahoma professor Stephen M. Gillen, who wrote Lee Harvey Oswald, 48 Hours to Live, recently wrote an article for the History News Network discussing the Warren Commission's failure to explain why Oswald assassinated JFK. Gillian said the commission failed to describe a single motive for why Oswald pulled the trigger. Then he explained how Oswald was deeply motivated by left-wing ideological convictions and was not merely a psychopath. JFK's killer desperately wanted to impress Cuban communists, especially after he failed to receive a Cuban visa just months before the assassination. Oswald was driven by a desire to prove his fidelity to Cuban revolution, gained Castro's respect, and possibly travel to Cuba as a conquering hero, Gillian said. Most communist leaders were afraid to make such an aggressive move as killing the president, which is why Gillian surmised it is unlikely that Soviet and Cuban regimes had any direct part to play in Kennedy's murder. But the commission was wary of the heated Cold War, buried Oswald's true motivation. Gillian continued to write, "The commission knew a great deal about Oswald's politics, his early embrace with Marxism, his defection to the Soviet Union, his involvement in pro-Castro groups in New Orleans, and his attempted assassination of right-wing retired General Edwin Walker a few months before he killed JFK. Where the commission failed, however, was in the understanding the depth of the CIA's attempt to assassinate Cuban leader Fidel Castro, and it was monitored Oswald in the months before the murder. Though the final commission report stated that Oswald killed Kennedy because he was disgruntled with Cuba, Gillian claims that the opposite is true. Gillian said that it is more likely that Oswald killed Kennedy in order to convince Cuban authorities to accept his petition for visa. This leads to the obvious conclusion, whatever theories exist about connections to the Soviet Union, Cuba, the mob, the CIA, or anything else, Lee Harvey Oswald was a leftist true believer that wanted to take out the President of the United States and the leader of the free world. Ultimately, Oswald was militantly anti-American, desperately tried to join the country's enemies, and would have willingly betrayed the United States. That he killed a president many liberals adore was incidental to his communist cause. That was most threatened by the democratically elected leader of the United States and the American people. It just, I don't know. This whole article shows Lee Harvey Oswald was quite a communist. But the whole investigation of this didn't show any of that. Of course, we can't be too surprised about that now, can we? And I'm just a little bit ahead of myself here, so I've got a couple of minutes before I need to take a break for messages. But it seems to me that where America is going wrong now is that we're allowing the government to dictate to us what we should be doing instead of the other way around. We have always been a country from the beginning where the people are supposed to be the bosses, and yet over the past 100 years we have had the government turning the tables on us and making it so that we are not the bosses anymore. And most people, if you ask them if we were the bosses of Washington, would say no, I am sure, from both sides of the aisle. Where America is going wrong. We cannot seem to get our hands around the idea that the politicians that we have in Washington are not there for us. They are only there for them. They are there to make the money and make themselves rich because of a country that they all hate, or a lot of them do anyway, at least on the left, and some on the right do too. People out of office, if they do not have the backbone to follow the Constitution and do the things that they are supposed to be doing, it just really makes me angry that we cannot stand up and tell these people that they are wrong and that our country means more to us than to let them destroy it while we are watching. And the sooner the people stand up and fight these people, the better off we will be. We will be right back after these important messages. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover from it at all. Don't let that happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques, outstanding member service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get a 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms.
If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Disgrace and embarrassment, utter disregard for the law. Are we talking about the rub of crack mayor Rob Ford? No. He is another one, but we're talking about President Obama. This is a man who is granted the extraordinary luxury of attending one of the most prestigious universities in the world. He went to a law school. He told us he was an expert on constitutional law. He taught students about the U.S. Constitution, but he is now our president and fills a rather large role in executing that Constitution. In enforcing it, essentially. And if it is read the actual Constitution, or as if he has read it, he found it all so confusing that he simply could not comprehend one of the most basic tenets of it, that the legislature writes laws, which then go to the president for either his signature or veto. Presidents do not get to write laws. They do not get to ignore laws they do not like or make up new ones on a whim. Presidents do not get to refuse to negotiate with Congress on financial matters because the president doesn't like what Congress has been so urgently instructed to do by the voters. He doesn't get to make end runs around Congress. The previous administration felt so constrained by this immutable concept of the precept of the Constitution that administration lawyers took advantage of confusing parts of the laws by passing by Congress and wrote their own understanding as to what those gray areas meant, obviously tilted as much of their favor as possible. Democrats in Congress and the left howled in horror at this reach outside the Constitution for tiny little scrapes of power or scraps of power, even though presidents ever since James Monroe have used this power. Democrats held hearings about the unchecked abuse of power and warned of the sinister unitary executive secretly thwarting Congress and trashing the Constitution. Whatever you thought of President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney's signing statements, you would have to agree that the constitutionality of them was, at the very least, debatable. Their legality was not a slam dunk either way. But do you know what is not debatable? What is not debatable is whether Mr. Obama can take the properly passed law, such as the Defense for Marriage Act, simply refuse to enforce it. He is not allowed to wave his hand and determine that millions of illegal immigrants now in the U.S. are suddenly legal. Nor is he allowed to single-handedly gut hard-fought welfare reform laws that were constitutionally enacted by a Republican-controlled Congress and a Democratic president. Mr. Obama has skirted, trampled, and violated the Constitution so many times that it will be hard for any future president not to simply agree that doing so has now become precedent. He has already rewritten the health care law so many times that it has become commonplace. No aspect of the law or any law that he does not believe a president can simply rewrite? I don't think so. I think he thinks that he can do anything he darn well pleases, and it is completely without shame that he has repeatedly violated the Constitution even when the courts strike him down, such as they did over his refusal to get Congress approval for his nomination. It is as if he read the Constitution, studied it, and then even taught it, but in the end determined that it only applied to other presidents, not him. Okay, so the drunken rages of Toronto's Mr. Ford have been entertaining. Clearly, smoking crack should not be condoned, and it is certainly illegal. But whatever damage he is doing to the mayoral office of Toronto will probably pass on with him and the circus will be over. What Mr. Obama is doing is not funny and cannot be undone. The mockery he is making of one of the greatest documents for human freedom in history cannot be erased. If he moves on, all future presidents will be left with a new precedent and a map to unchecked tyranny. That, my friends, is the legacy of one Barack Hussein Obama. Now, no wonder this country is in so much damn trouble. And it isn't going to go away when he does, unless the Republicans turn around and grow a backbone and start following the Constitution and the law of the land, period. That is the only hope for a good future for this country. And since it isn't likely to happen with the current crop, then, folks, we are in trouble as a free nation under God. Our president has done more damage to our Constitution than most presidents could dream of in their wildest fantasies. When are we going to wake up? It is something that we have to start looking at, because if we don't wake up and start getting rid of these damages so set in stone that it'll never go away, even with the right people, this country doesn't have much of a future left. And that saddens me a lot, because this nation is the greatest nation that this world has ever known or will ever know, even after we're gone. Well, I'll tell you, even the weather here is nothing compared to what the government has done to us over the last 5 years. A couple of days ago, it was close to 60 degrees. Today, it's about 18. My little heater here in my studio doesn't do much for warming this place up. But the anger that I'm feeling for what these people are doing to this country actually keeps me warm to an extent. We have to start following the instincts that have to be there for American patriots, and that is to look at what these people are doing to our beloved country and then vote them out of office if they're not doing what we want them to do. And for sure, President Obama isn't. He's doing everything he can to destroy what this country was founded on. And he has no shame in doing it. He can tell us all to go to hell in a handbasket and then pass a law to make it so, and then get on TV and smile at all of us and tell us how great he is doing. What a hypocrite. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins, even though it doesn't in Washington, D.C. This week, Senator Harry Reid did something that a few years ago he swore he would never do. And if it was ever done, it would be the end of America. But this week he went ahead and did just that. The Senate voted Thursday, 52-48, to end the filibuster rule for all the executive and judicial appointments except for Supreme Court nominees, which would still need a 60-vote supermajority to end debate and move to a majority vote on confirmation. The move, dubbed the nuclear option, represents a historic power grab and a blow to the procedural prerogatives of the minority party in the Senate. But all but three Democrats voted in favor of this. And here is what Harry Reid had to say.
Proposed today would ensure executive and judicial nominations an up or down vote on confirmation. Yes, no. The rule of change will make cloture for all nominations other than the Supreme Court, a majority threshold vote, yes or no. The Senate is a living thing, and to survive it must change, as it has over the history of this great country. To the average American, adapting the rules to make the Senate work again is just common sense.
If our colleagues want to work with us to fill judicial vacancies like we've been doing all year, 99% of judges confirmed. Obviously, we're willing to do that. If you want to play games, set yet another precedent that you'll no doubt come to regret. Say to my friends on the other side of the aisle, you'll regret this, and you may regret it a lot sooner than you think.
That last person was Mitch McConnell. And it's like I said, every once in a while he does say the right things, but Harry Reid now is trying to say exactly the opposite thing that he said back in 2005 when Democrats had inaugurated the practice of filibustering large numbers of nominees. Then Minority Leader Reid railed against the GOP majority for threatening the nuclear option, saying that crisis ended in an agreement brokered by the bipartisan Gang of 14, which stated that nominees would only be filibustered in extraordinary circumstances, but that there would be no attempted rules changes to that in Congress. The reason for the strong Republican opposition to the recent nominees by President Barack Obama has been the strong ideological bent of many of the nominees, plus the determination of the president to pack the D.C. District Court of Appeals by filling several vacancies. That court decides important regulatory cases and has an otherwise low caseload for its current roster of 4 Democrat and 4 Republican-appointed judges. Republicans have pointed out that the Democrats' proposed changes could be renewed and perhaps extended when Democrats are once again in the minority, allowing the GOP to retaliate by nominating conservative candidates who might not otherwise survive a filibuster. In a political environment requiring both sides to work together to solve pressing issues, Reed and his party may come to regret the fallout. A few years before this happened, the same Harry Reid swore this kind of thing would never happen because it would bring about the end of the country and the Constitution. Maybe this was their plan after all. Rush said it best in his morning update yesterday. When Senate Minority Dictator Harry Reid launched the nuclear option last Thursday, he ripped the cover off of Democrats' self-serving speeches about the rights of the minority. Over 200 years, Senate rules protected the minority party's ability to exercise its constitutional role to advise and consent on judicial nominations. Those rules, going back to Jefferson's times, required a supermajority vote to move nominees forward. With Obamacare failures leading the news and Obama's poll numbers swirling towards the toilet, Democrats needed a subject change. It's supposed to take 67 votes to change Senate rules. These carry over from one Senate to the next, regardless of election results. But Democrats blew that up. With only 52 votes, a simple majority, Democrats unilaterally took away the Republican senators' right to object to Obama's radical court nominees. Democrats from Obama and Reid to their yes men media flunkies are justifying this power grab with the talking point charts and lies. One of their goals is to stack the D.C. Circuit Court, which oversees regulations like those in Obamacare. Now, you see where this is going now. When the Republicans were in the majority by one vote, they stupidly agreed to power-sharing arrangements with Democrats. Moderate Republicans brag about reaching across the aisle to compromise with Democrats instead of defeating them. Well, those Republican senators must now use their outreached hands of friendship to pull the knives out of their backs. I have a question. How's that compromising with Democrats working out for you? Harry Reid ought to be totally ashamed of himself for what he is doing to this country, but the trouble is he probably is sitting in his bedroom giggling with the giggleweeds because he succeeded once again in doing something that the Constitution does not condone. Anyone who tells you that the Democrats are here for us is an effing liar. You want to know the flip-flop of Harry Reid? Here's what he said in 2005. And both of these quotes are about the same thing. When they are attempting to do this, instance is really too bad. It will change this body forever. We will be an extension of the House of Representatives where a simple majority there can determine anything. That was Harry Reid's remarks on the Senate floor May 23rd of 2005. And here's what he said about the same thing this week. The Senate is a living thing. And to survive, it must change. It has over the history of this great country, as it has over the history of this great country. To the average American, adapting the rules to make the Senate work again is just common sense. This is not about Democrats versus Republicans, and that's a bunch of bull. It most certainly is. This is about making Washington work, regardless of who is in the White House or who controls the Senate. Senator Harry Reid remarks on Senate floors on the Senate floor November 21st, 2013. Need I say more about how the Democrats are not there, that the Democrats do not care about anyone but themselves, excuse me, and the power that they can get over the people? This should get every red-blooded patriot heading for the doors with their guns in their hands. Revolution should be starting. But it's not. We will be right back for the final segment of the show after these messages.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
It- It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
And finally, we here at New Wise Conservatism Radio Show want to leave you with our weekly thought of the day. The Constitution has been a point of contention lately, not for us conservatives, mind you, because we are the ones fighting for it. But the contention comes in from the likes of President Obama, who has come right out and told us that the Constitution is a flawed document because it limits what I can do to the people. And the sad part of this is, folks, that after he told us all that, we went ahead and elected him for president anyway, not just once, but twice, making us doubly dumb. Folks, our president now does not believe in the Constitution, and he has come right out and told us so, and we still elected him. Here is some history for you people out there who does not know the story of the Constitution and the reasons that it was written in the way it was. Our founding fathers grew up with England as their father country and the country of their origin. They grew up under the laws and rules of the monarch, who was the King of England, one person who could make the rules and laws of the land, and there was nothing anyone could do about it. If the king wanted to tax you into oblivion by rights, he could do just that. And for the little people who had little money, that is exactly what he did. The government was everything to the people, and without it, they really had no reason to live their lives. Everything was done for them by the King of England. Most monarchies are even worse than England ever thought of being. But America was to get away from the king and his rules and the taxes that were put on the people without any representation in the government. America was founded so that the government would be small and the bosses of the land were the people themselves. And it was all spelled out in the Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Lately, however, actually over the last century, the government has been growing exponentially bigger, with liberal ideas that the government was there to help the people and it needed to be bigger all the time. Now, the idea that the government is there to help people is partially right, but as time went on, the government became more and more intrusive because the people were thought of as inept to do anything on their own, so the government was needed to show people the way, and the people felt with the lies and the ideas that the government tried to hand them to make them think this way. the way that the government wants is socialism. Obama is the worst of the socialists by far. And the sad part is he is almost daily gets away with something else that no other president in history of this nation could get away with. Call it fear of being called a racist or appearing or opposing for what he is doing. I don't know, but it is being done. In the 5 years that Obama has been the president of this country, he has broken more national laws than probably any president before him, inclusive from George Washington to George W. Bush. And he does it because he knows he can get away with it and because he has the media and the government Senate to back him on everything he does. His scandals from the Fast and Furious to Benghazi have been increasingly worse, and in both I have mentioned people were murdered. And no one in the Obama administration has been held to account for any of it. Imagine if George Bush had done the Fast and Furious thing and we would have had a president other than Nixon who would have been disgraced in office. Now, granted, Clinton was impeached, but as a Democrat, he literally got away with what he was impeached for because he's still around and still a mouthpiece for the Democrat Party, something no Republican would ever be able to accomplish. And history proves me out in that one. Democrats have gotten away with things that go totally against the law of the land, which they feel is only what they force on us and not the Constitution. Barney Frank has a spot on his past while working for us that he ran a sort of brothel for young men out of his basement, something else that no Republican would ever get away with. And the sad part of this is that Barney Frank is still in Congress. Tom Foley lost his job in Congress because they found out there was an alleged impropriety with pages. He was a Republican. He is gone. Ted Kennedy got drunk in 1968 and without a current driver's license and without insurance, and in his car was Mary Jo Kopechmick. He died the night, she died that night in his car and was submerged in the water. Where was Senator Ted Kennedy? He got out of the car and swam to the edge, went home to sleep off his drunken stupor, and only after 9 the next morning did he report it to the police. By then, Miss Kopechne had drowned in his car. It's sad, the things that the Democrats get away with and nobody ever does anything about. I think that is the one thing that has kept me going on this show as long as it has. We have been changing almost weekly for a while now. We have a show every day of the week and more on some days than on others. So here's our lineup for now. On Sundays, we have American by Design with Uncle Bing Fisher. On Monday, we have Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance at 8 p.m. Tuesdays, we have two shows, A Just Cause with Sam Thurman and Cliff Stewart, and we have the Grace and Grit Radio Show at 8 and 9, or 8 and 10 Eastern Time. On Wednesday, we have some guy from Delaware named Duke Brooks and his show, Radio Free America. On Thursday, we have one of the new shows, Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opolisky. On Fridays, we have Daily Roll Call with Kathy Hinners. Saturdays, you are treated with my show with the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with yours truly, The Infidel. See, like I've been telling you, it's changing all the time. ConservativeNationMedia.com is the network that is growing by leaps and bounds, and Obama and his minions couldn't stop us even if they tried following the Constitution. Folks, you and I know that isn't an option for this administration because they are working hard to actively destroy the Constitution and are doing more as I speak, I am sure. So until next week, my friends, God bless you all. Keep up the good work to save our great republic and keep God in it so he can help us return this nation to its rightful direction by helping us remove the scum that has invaded the White House and the Senate. The New Wise Conservatism Radio Show will continue to strive to bring you the information that you need to continue your fight for this nation's future because make no mistake here, folks, this is the war we are now finding ourselves in. Until next week, my patriotic friends, fight for the right and against the wrong. America is at stake here. God bless us all. Until then, have a good day. God bless you all.